طيب بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Today, I don't know where we are. Session 57, level 3 fiqh. lessons in Arabic lessons in fiqh, level 3, Islamic University of Medina Arabic Language Institute. Okay, today, our class today should be a review of the issues that we discussed in the book of Siyam. The questions that came at the end of Kitab al-Siyam on page 74 and 75. 12 questions. But before we answer those questions, as a means of reviewing any of the issues that we took, I just want to complete the discussion that we had last week that we didn't finish. The last point that we discussed last week before we closed, because of the time, we didn't have time to finish. I didn't want to leave that issue open without the end comments of the Sheikh. I don't know if anybody remembers the discussion that we had end of the class last week that we were finishing on.
Yeah, about the
the emission of semen, ejaculation from a person who caused herself to have an ejaculation by masturbation or by hugging, if a person has a seminal emission due to hugging their spouse or kissing or like this. Okay, so this is one of the things that was mentioned in the textbook that caused the fast to become invalid, and it was also mentioned by some of the other scholars like Sheikh Saleh Fawzan, Hafidhullah, also mentioned that the emission of semen by any reason other than actual sexual intercourse also invalidates the fast, though it doesn't require kafara. That was the discussion we were having last week. And the last point we're not going to take a lot of time with this topic because we want to come to the answers today, but I just want to try to close the subject because we didn't finish the end of the comments that the Sheikh made. But if you want to say something brief,
because Sheikh Albani was saying that there is no dalil about this breaking the fast. But you brought a hadith when the...
Okay, let's go back to it, okay, so it can be clear, okay? Let's go back to it, just quickly. I'll just review what was said there, so it'll be clear, and then I'll just complete with his comments, okay? This particular issue is mentioned in Ikhtiyarat al-Fiqhiyya of Sheikh Albani on page 221. Point number 7. And point number 8 is a follow-up of it, but we won't be able to discuss all of it today. In any case, the Sheikh begins, or the discussion begins, with the first opinion, the opinion of the majority of scholars. And then the second opinion that is opposed to that is mentioned. Okay, so there are two opinions mentioned here, and there are evidences from both sides, whatever kalam that they said. To summarize, it is said here that this topic is the ruling of istimna, masturbation in the daytime in Ramadan, or causing al-mani, seminal emission, even if it's caused by kissing or hugging one's spouse or other than that, whatever is similar to that, as long as it didn't reach the actual sexual intercourse, meaning penetration. Anything other than that, other than actual penetration, sexual intercourse by penetration, then those other causes of seminal emission also invalidate the fast. But if there's no penetration, then there's no kafara. But it does invalidate the fast and the day has to be made of. That's the opinion of the majority. Okay, that's the discussion, okay? As far as what you're alluding to, it's mentioned that the majority of scholars say that this action that caused seminal emission less than penetration, other than actual sexual intercourse, they said that all of these things invalidate the fast and require the person to make up a day, but it doesn't require kafara. The evidence, or from the evidence that they use, is the hadith Qudsi Yani, we're going to summarize, right? Where the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah said that the person يَدَعَ طَعَامُهُ وَشَرَابُهُ وَشَهْوَتَهُ مِنْ أَجْلِي, that the person gives up their food and their drink and their desires for my sake. That's the quote, the shahid from the hadith that they use, yani the shahwa, he gave up his shahwa. So they're saying that masturbation is a form of shahwa. So that's also included, that you can't do that, therefore it invalidates the fast. You have to make up the day. But they're also saying, not here, but they're saying in other more discussion that we'll come to, that yes, it invalidates the fast, but it doesn't require kafara. So they're saying that masturbation is by qiyas included, since it's a form of shahwa, included with breaking of the fast by sexual intercourse, because it's a type of shahwa. But they're saying it's similar in that sense, but it's not similar to it in the sense that it requires kafara. It invalidates the fast, but it doesn't. So they're saying there's some similarity, and then there's difference between them. And they're not exactly the same. The other proof that they mention is the hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ, and these are authentic hadith, both of them, Bukhari or Muslim, or both of them, yani that the Prophet ﷺ said, or he was said to him, yani that if a person has relations with their wife, this will be al-sadaqah. They said, Ya Rasulullah, a person has sexual intercourse with their spouse, and they get reward for that. He said, if they had sexual intercourse unlawfully, they will get punishment for it, so why shouldn't they get reward if they have sexual intercourse with the one that they have lawful right to be with? The word that's used in that hadith is shahwa also. So they use the word shahwa to compare between masturbation and sexual intercourse, penetration. The second opinion is the opinion of Ibn Hazm. He said that masturbation, if there's not penetration, if there's just masturbation, seminal emission by masturbation, no actual sexual intercourse penetration, does not invalidate the fast, even if a person masturbated intentionally. And he said that they didn't bring a nas, yani a clear text that mentions masturbation. They didn't bring a clear text that mentions masturbation, nor did they bring a ijma, that the scholars agreed that masturbation is included in this. They didn't bring that. Nor did they even bring a saying of a companion who said that masturbation invalidates fasting. Ibn Hazm, wala qiyas. He said, wala qiyas. Of course, they are making qiyas, but it's not a valid qiyas. That's the point that he's making. And then he gives some references for that. We mentioned them last week. In the different books of fiqh, according to Hanbali fiqh, Hanafi fiqh, Maliki fiqh, and so on, the different books of the various schools, the famous books of fiqh by these schools, where they mention this discussion, okay? So, this is the point that we want to make now. Sheikh al-Albani is saying, he's agreeing with the second opinion, the opinion of Ibn Hazm. And he's saying, summarize, لا دليل على إبطال بذلك. There's no dalil, yani clear text. There's no clear text in the Quran, nor in the Hadith, nor is the Ijma, nor saying of a Sahabi, nor a valid qiyas. That's what he means by it. There's no dalil. There's no valid qiyas, even, he's saying, that masturbation invalidates the fast, or even causing seminal emission by other ways, such as a person hugging their spouse or kissing their spouse or whatever is similar to this. Anything that's less than actual sexual intercourse, jima', penetration. And joining them together, ilhaqahu bil jima', yani the masturbation and or these other things and sexual intercourse, is غير ظاهر. It's not apparent that they are the same. And for this reason, Al-Imam al-San'ani, Muhammad Ali al-San'ani, the author of Subul al-Salam, the explanation of Bulugh Maram, he said that what is more clear, Al-Adhar, that masturbation, there's no qadha, there's no making up the day, there's no kafara. Yani that it does not invalidate the fast. Except for the one who actually has sexual intercourse, yani by penetration. And joining these two things together, the person who masturbates or the person who has sexual intercourse, joining them together saying that there's some relation between them, that there's a means of qiyas between them, he said this is ba'id. Yani this is far-fetched. And this also, this view that's expressed by San'ani was also the view Yani that Al-Imam al-Shawkani was inclined towards is clearly the madhab of Ibn Hazm, Shaykh al-Albani says. And then Shaykh al-Albani says, he adds to what they said by saying that what point directs us to this fact that the qiyas between, the analogy between masturbation and sexual intercourse is qiyas ma'al-fariq. Ma'al-fariq. Yani farq baynahuma. Yeah, there's a difference between them. But this is not qiyas between two things that are equal. What proves that, or what makes us to see that, is that some of the people who hold that masturbation invalidates the fast, he said, they didn't say, they said it invalidates the fast, but the person who does it doesn't have to give the kafara, doesn't have to pay the penalty of kafara, expiation, by yani fasting for two consecutive months, or feeding, or freeing a slave, or fasting two consecutive months, or freeing a slave. Freeing a slave first, or fasting two consecutive months, or feeding 60 people, in that order. They didn't say that there's a kafara. The Shaykh says, the reason why they said there's no kafara is because al-jima'a, yani sexual intercourse, is aghlavu, yani is more severe. Wal-asul adam al-kafara. They said that the original ruling concerning masturbation, the original rule is that there's no kafara, because there's no proof for kafara. Shaykh al-Albani is saying, then, if they are saying that there's a difference between the two, and therefore there's no kafara, the original ruling is different for masturbation than it is for sexual intercourse, then we say the same thing. Al-asu adam al-iftar. That the original ruling concerning masturbation is that it doesn't invalidate the fast, because there's no proof for it. Just like there's no proof for kafara for it. There's no proof for it in validating the fast likewise. Same reason. Yes, the jima'ah, the sexual intercourse, is more severe than masturbation. And therefore, there shouldn't be qiyas between them. If there's no qiyas for the kafara, how is there qiyas for iftar, breaking the fast? That's the first argument he makes. Second argument he makes, one of the scholars, yani al-Rafi, he says that al-mani idha kharaja bil-istimna aftara. That if there's seminal emission, then it invalidates the fast. And the reasoning for that, he said, لأن الإلاج, the penetration, من غير إنزال, without there being seminal emission, in مبتل, يعني مبتلون, it invalidates the fast. يعني if a person has sexual intercourse, but they don't have ejaculation, there's just penetration, that this invalidates the fast. So he said, if that invalidates the fast, then the person who masturbates and causes seminal emission, then he said, this awla an yakun muftiran. It is more befitting that that should invalidate the fast. If the person has penetration with no seminal emission, and that invalidates the fast, then how can the person who masturbates and has seminal emission, how is that not invalidating the fast? That's what they said. Shaykh al-Albani says, so if this is true, that it is obligatory for the person who has, yani, sexual intercourse, if it's true that sexual intercourse without seminal emission, without ejaculation, yani invalidates the fast. And it also requires a kafara. If masturbation with seminal emission is awla to invalidate the fast, then it should also be awla that there's expiation. Yani that there's kafara. Yani if this thing is so bad that it's more right that it should invalidate the fast by masturbation because there's seminal emission, then, more so then, it should have require kafara. But yet they don't say it's this kafara. Again, they're saying it's like it in invalidating the fast, but it's not so bad that it requires expiation. But it's worse than any penetration without seminal emission. Then why is there no kafara? So the Shaykh is saying, then, ta'ammal at-tanaqid, yani their contradiction in their qiyasain. Look at the contradiction between them. On the one hand, they are the same, that it should invalidate the fast, but on the other hand, there should be no kafara. So the Shaykh is saying then you can't have it both ways. Either it's like it or it's not like it. One, take one or the other. Not it's like it when you want it to be, and it's not when you don't want it to be. Then he says, and we also add to this, and I don't want to read the rest of the discussion because it's kind of long, but in any case, he said, there's also narrations from Sahaba that prove the permissibility of hugging and kissing, and that there's no proof for yani saying that these things invalidate the fast. And if they are allowed, then whatever results from that, Yani, meaning that if there was seminal emission, because a person is allowed to hug their spouse and they did so, or they kissed their spouse and they did so, then he said, when Aisha was asked, radiallahu anha, what is allowed of a man asked, what is allowed from me with my wife when I am fasting? And she said, kullu shayin illa jima', everything except actual sexual intercourse, yani meaning penetration. Everything less than that is all allowed. And also he mentioned that there were other narrations from other Sahaba that proved the permissibility of hugging and kissing and these things. And finally the Shaykh, he says, this is what I want to close with. I just want to close with this. He said that even though there's this opinion that was expressed by some of the scholars, and Shaykh al-Albani being amongst them, that there is that the emission of semen due to kissing or hugging or whatever, that it doesn't invalidate the fast. He said this is one thing, but yani this doesn't mean that it is encouraged that someone should do this for fear of what it could lead to. That the person who hug and kiss, if they had seminal emission, it doesn't invalidate the fast. But that hugging and kissing may lead to sexual intercourse, which definitely does invalidate the fast and definitely does require a kafara. And therefore he said, yani a person should avoid this for fear of falling into that which would be yani definitely invalidate the fast and definitely require the kafara, saddan lidhariya, yani just to close the way to that which is harmful. And then the Shaykh also said, and this yani we'll close with this, and then you can ask your question. He said that masturbation is haram. And then he mentioned yani some proofs for it. Yani that's a discussion that we're not going to have today. But the point is, like he's saying, that it is haram, and the person, and nobody should imagine that because some of the scholars said that it doesn't invalidate the fast, that doesn't mean that it's not haram. Because there are things that do not invalidate the fast, but they are forbidden to do, meaning that they are sinful. So, yani, I just want to close his statement and then you can ask your question. And today we're not going to have a long discussion about this topic because today we're going to do the question and answers. But go ahead.
That was my question, because he's saying to avoid hugging and kissing
If a person, like the Prophet ﷺ, allowed a man and he disallowed another man because of the condition of the person. If a person knows that that could lead to something, then they should avoid it. Even if, yani, it doesn't invalidate the fast. But they should avoid it what? To not, so that it doesn't lead them to something else that does invalidate the fast.
Actually, I was saying that they should discourage masturbation because that is sin, even though it doesn't invalidate the fasting.
No. It should be discouraged. And the Shaykh also, his opinion, like I said, this discussion we're not going to have today, but the Shaykh is saying that it's haram, it's sinful. And even those scholars who say, except in the case where a person fears that they will fall into zina, then that's less than zina. The Shaykh is saying, yes, if they have first used the prophetic medicine that the Prophet ﷺ recommended, and that is that he told the young people, Ya ma'ashar al-shabab, Naam, whoever is able to marry, then marry. But if you're not able to marry, then fast. Shaykh is saying that yani, the people should marry. If they're not able to marry, they should fast. Now, if they have used this medical, yani, this prophetic medicine to prevent yani, them falling into sin, that they have been fasting, and still they thought that they would fall into zina, then in that case, then masturbation is less than zina, but it is haram.
Finish my last question.
Finish.
So actually it was my first question. So the hadith about the shahwa, here is exclusive, Sheikh Albani, so they interpret that hadith that exclusively related to jima'.
Now.
Or is exclusively
Naam. Unless there's a clear textual proof that it includes any type of shahwa. Because there's all types of shahwa.
Yeah.
So unless there's a clear textual proof for every other type of shahwa, then we don't have a nas. We don't have a nas. And that's really what they're saying. That's what Ibn Hazm is saying. Imam Ibn Hazm, that's what he's saying. That's what the Sana'ani was saying. That's what Shaykh al-Albani is saying. That, yes, it's possible that could be included under the word shahwa. And so there could be many other things included under the word shahwa. So if we don't include all of them, what gives us the yani the support to include certain things to the exclusion of other things. There's no textual clear proof that this is included in that. That's the point that he's saying. Not in the Quran, not in the Sunnah, not a saying of a Sahaba, nor is there any ijma. Rather, there's difference of opinion about it. Some scholars say it did, some scholars say it didn't, so there's no ijma. There's no Quran, Sunnah, or ijma that supports it. And that's the conclusion of this topic. What we wanted to finish last week, we ran out of time with. Now,
my question is, so
does it invalidate the fast?
Does it take the same money as money in
I don't know that it invalidates the fast, but let's take a look at it, inshallah. That's because there are scholars who say that any seminal emission invalidates the fast. And then there's the other opinion that it doesn't. So there's difference of opinion about it. Allahu alam. Allahu alam. There's difference of opinion about it, for sure. Second opinion. Yeah, according to those who have the second opinion, then surely it doesn't. According to those who have the first opinion, I don't know. Maybe. It may be a strong opinion. But if it's a strong opinion, what is this supported by? That every type of shahwa invalidates the fast? Or only certain types of shahwa? Okay, the time. We're limited for time. Okay? So we're limited for time. Anyway, that's another discussion. Okay, that's just a different discussion that's not part of what we talked about today. I hope some people have written answers. طيب بسم الله والصلاة والسلام رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وباء كتاب الصيام questions on the end of كتاب الصيام page 74 and 75 and 74 the first question عرف الصيام لغة وشرعا نعم يا أبو بكر by the way the answer to this question is on page 65 for those who may not know نعم لغة الإمساك the linguistic meaning of صيام is abstaining holding back نعم Now, so the linguistic meaning of as-siyam is al-imsak, holding back, refraining, abstaining. And the technical meaning is abstaining from those things which invalidate the fast, from the break of dawn until the setting of the sun, along with the niyyah, intention, doing it for the sake of Allah. طيب. Second question, اذكر حديثا في فضل السيام. This question mentioned a hadith that shows the virtues of siyam, came on page 66. Who knows hadith that mentions the virtue of siyam? Yeah, naam. He said Yawm Eid. I think he said Yawm Eid. I thought I heard him say it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yawm Eid. Naam, faya. Tayyib. The virtue is throughout this hadith, right? So the Prophet ﷺ said in this hadith that, what's the beginning of it? All of the deeds of the son of Adam were for him except fasting. Fasting is for me and I will reward it. And then he went on to say fasting is a shield. So if any one of you has on the day of fasting, then he shouldn't, فَلَا يَرْفُثْ He shouldn't engage in obscenities nor shout loudly, يَسْخَبْ and so on. And if somebody verbally assaults you or wants to fight you, then say, I'm fasting to the end of the hadith. Long hadith, and many virtues mentioned in this particular hadith. Naam. Another hadith?
Yes.
Naam.
Another hadith,
نعم. سهل ابن سعد. سهل ابن سعد. نعم. رضي الله عنه. يلا يلا كمان.
سهل ابن سعد رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إن في الجنة بابا يقال له
الريان
الريان يدخل منه الصائمون يوم القيامة لا يدخل منه أحد غيرهم يقال أين الصائمون فيقومون لا يدخل منه أحد غيرهم أو غيرهم
لا يدخل منه أحد بس تفاعل غيرهم
فإذا دخلوا أغلق فلم يدخل منه أحد
نعم that in Jannah there is a door it is called الريان no one يعني will enter it except the fasting people on يوم القيامة يعني no one will enter it except the those people it was said where are the fasting people and they will stand up and no one will enter it other than them يعني if they have entered the door will be closed and no one will enter it other than them يعني we put about Al-Bukhari Muslim and there are lots of hadith concerning the virtue of Siyam the third question ما حكم صوم رمضان وما دليل هذا الحكم يعني what is the ruling concerning the fasting of Ramadan and what is the دليل or the proof for this يعني ruling and this the answer to these two parts of the question on page 66 and 67 if anybody wants to go back and look at them who knows the answer to this question ya Ibrahim 66 and 67 the حكم of صوم رمضان and the evidence for it واجب على كل مسلم بالغ عاقل It's okay, it is واجب يعني it is فرض نعم هو
الدليل هو ركن
نعم يعني it's واجب فرض and it is also يعني ركن من أركان الإسلام Okay, and an evidence for it is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O you who believe, yani fasting has been prescribed, written or made obligatory. Some of the scholars said, kutiba means furiba. It was made obligatory, like it was made obligatory on those before you. Now, they are not sawa. Now,
ركن من أركان الإسلام is different from the wife.
No.
But because it's a ركن, that's what makes it wajib.
No, I give no. It's a consequence. But that's
something. Okay, that, listen.
Something is wajib, it doesn't make it ركن. I give an example. For example, al-Fatiha is wajib. No. It's not a ركن من أركان الإسلام.
But when something is ركن, it's wajib.
No. Yeah, but yeah. When something is wajib, it's not.
Okay, listen, this is a discussion that yani, we can save for another time because the point is the hukum concerning Siyam Ramadan, there's no doubt that it is obligatory. Yani, the mention of it being a rukum means that it's even higher than just every obligatory duty is not a rukum. But it's from the pillars of Islam. So they're taking the higher ruling concerning it over the lesser ruling. But it is also wajib. It's not. And it was the hukum, and it's obligatory. It's wajib. It's fard. Or if we want to say that, and it has a higher level of obligation than that, because not only is it obligatory, but it's from the pillars of Islam, the foundation of Islam. Naam. Then it is, no doubt. Another proof. Yani why? Yani for this particular ruling. Another proof. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
بني الإسلام على خمس شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله
صلى الله
وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة والحج والصوم
رمضان. نعم the hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that Islam is built upon five pillars and it's شهادة لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله establishing the prayer giving the zakat and pilgrimage to the house and fasting. يعني the month of Ramadan, نعم. So this hadith is proved that it's from the pillars, and it's from the pillars of Islam. Naam. And the scholars also have come to consensus, ijma, upon this, that it is from the pillars of Islam, that it is an obligatory, mandatory duty upon the Muslims. Naam. Other than the questions that we're going to read from the book, save it.
Okay.
We'll have a full discussion about it.
If you look at the usul al-fiqh, they mention the term wajib and then mustahab. So if something is a rukun, that shows that it's wajib. So by saying it's wajib.
There's no doubt that every one of the pillars of Islam are obligatory.
Exactly.
There's no doubt about it.
But
I don't think that is that we have a sufficient time to have a full discussion about this. The point is that it's not just wajib. I think that's the point. It's not just wajib. Rather, it's from the pillars of Islam. Of course, every pillar of Islam is wajib. So it's not something that is that we need to have a difference about. It's not something that we should be having a difference about. Yeah, of course. The pillars of Islam. The pillars of Islam. Now, point number four. Bima yathbut ash-shahr. In which way do we confirm the beginning of the month of Ramadan? This particular issue is mentioned on page 67. Who wants to answer this question? In which way? Yeah, Omar. Now. Huh? Liru'yati. Okay, so it is confirmed by, that's part of the answer, by the sighting of the new moon, the hilal. Or by the completion of the month of, which month?
Sha'ban.
The completion of the month of 30 days. The beginning of the month of Sha'ban is confirmed, of Ramadan is confirmed by either the sighting of the hilal for the month of the month of Ramadan, or the month of Sha'ban completing 30 days. If it completed 30 days, then this also confirmed the beginning of the month of Ramadan. Question number 5. Kam ruknan lissawm Udhkurha. How many are the pillars of fasting, and mention them? How many are the pillars of fasting? Musa.
Ruknan.
They are ruknan. What are they?
Al-Imsak
and?
An-Niyya.
Al-Imsak and Al-Niyya. Yeah, and An-Niyya. Huh?
Which of the two conferences? An-Niyya. As it came in the book.
this is another discussion that we need time for, okay? But the two pillars are these two things. Whatever order you want to mention them in, An-Niyya first or Imsak. In the book it came Imsak and An-Niyya. Naam. No doubt, before anybody does anything, there has to be intention, right? Before we do anything, we have to have intention. What is the proof that intention is a pillar of fasting?
إِنَّمَا
الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. And from the Quran, that they have not been commanded except to worship Allah alone and to make the deen exclusively for Allah alone. And this niyyah should be made when? For Ramadan. قبل الدخول الشهر. قبل الفجر من كل ليلة. For Ramadan, because it's obligatory fast, unlike voluntary fast. That was question number what? 5. Okay, question number 6. على من يجب صوم رمضان. Who is it obligatory? The fast Ramadan is obligatory upon who? Who didn't answer yet?
That was his answer. He was looking for Rukuba.
Taib. Who is it? Who is fast Ramadan is obligatory upon men? You want to answer, guys?
Yeah,
Muslim.
Baligh.
Aqil.
Mutiq.
Muqeem. Every Muslim who reached the age of maturity Aqil, sane, Mukim, resident, has the ability to fast, has the ability to fast, not excused because inability, and Mukim, yani who is resident, not traveling. Question number 7, Ma hukm siyam as-sabi? What is the ruling concerning the fasting of a child? You have a question?
So the next pregnant woman enters under the Mukim.
They're not able to fast. They're not able to fast. So they're not obligated to fast. Rather, not only they're not obligated to fast, it's not permissible for them to fast. It's forbidden for a menstruating woman to fast. Question number 7. What is the hukum for the fasting of the child? Sabi. Naam.
No, leave it for the
Shaykh. What I'm saying is that the child that is not puberty.
Yeah, we're talking about a child that didn't reach the age of responsibility.
He doesn't have to fast, but it's a rule that training to fast half a day.
No, the child who's yani who a small child who didn't reach the age of responsibility is not obligated to fast. It's not obligatory for them to fast, but it is encouraged, yani, that they should, yani, be encouraged to fast, yani, to the best of their ability, in order to train them, yani, for the time when it became obligatory. Question number 8. ماذا يجب على الشيخ الكبير والمريض مرضا مزمنا? Yani, what is obligatory upon the older person, or the person who is sick with a chronic illness, meaning that they're not expected to recover from. What is the... Now, Abu Bakr. Yani, they are obligated to... they are obligated to feed a poor person for every day that they didn't fast. Naam. And this is the ruling concerning the yani Sheikh Kabir or Mar al Juza, yani the elderly people who have hardship in fasting. Or the person who has a sickness that they're not expected to recover from, then their obligation is to feed a poor person for each day that they didn't fast. Question number nine. Is it permissible for the fasting person or the sick person, yani, who doesn't have chronic illness, is it permissible for that person to break their fast in Ramadan and mention a dalil for whatever you say? Is it permissible for the traveler, the musafir, and the sick person who doesn't have chronic illness to break their fast during Ramadan? Yajuz. No, it's permissible for them to break the fast. And the proof for it? Naam. Yani whoever is traveling, or whoever is sick or traveling, then they have to make up the number of days that they didn't fast while they were traveling or sick. They have to make them up from days, yani, later on. Naam. What's that question number what?
Nine.
Question number 9. That's question number 9. Question number 10. Question number 10. Make clear, bayyin ma yastahibbu lis-sa'im. What is, yani, mustahab? Yani, meaning, what is
recommended,
commendable, praiseworthy, yani, in the sharia for the fasting person. This answer is on page 71 and page 72, one by one. We're going to start with Umar. As-suhoor, taking the pre-dawn meal before the break of dawn. Number 2. Ta'akhir as-suhoor, yani delaying the suhoor until when? And until close to the time of dawn. Until close to the time of dawn. Yani not 1 hour before dawn. Delaying it until it's close to the, almost to the time of dawn. Naam. Number 3. Musa. Ta'jil al-fitr. Yani meaning? hastening to break the fast once it is confirmed that the sun has actually set. Number four. Naam? Dua عند الإفطار, yani making supplication at the time of breaking the fast, and along with that, wait a minute, before, yani making dua at the time of breaking the fast, or during fasting, not just at the time of breaking fast, during fasting. Remember, حتى يفطر أو حين يفطر. Yani it came in the Tirmidhi with both wordings. Yani making dua until you break the fast, meaning during the fast, or حين يفطر at the time of breaking the fast. That's how many? Four or five? Umrah?
Siwak.
A siwak? Using siwak? When using siwak? When you're fasting?
At all times.
At all times. And even like in the evening, in the last later part of the day?
No.
It's not recommended the last part of the day, says Abu Bakr.
In the last part of the day?
Yes.
Somebody said Lima. Okay, so there's some difference of opinion about this, but we don't know that there's any proof that there's a distinction between using siwak for the fasting person in the early part of the day and later part of the day. The Prophet ﷺ encouraged the using of siwak, and he didn't make any distinction. He didn't make any distinction that only in the early part of the day or in the later part of the day. And there's some scholars who have some arguments, but actually if you look at them carefully, until now I haven't found the argument that makes, yani, that is really strong. There's no strong argument for it. Rather, siwak is, yani, encouraged mutlaqan, fasting person, non-fasting person, early part of the day, later part of the day. It's encouraged. Yani, one of the arguments of the people who say not in the later part of the day is because maybe when a person has been fasting for a long time, there's some odor that's coming from their stomach, not from their mouth, from their stomach, coming out of their mouth, but from their stomach. And brushing the teeth doesn't stop that, one way or another. So they're arguing that if you brush your teeth, then, you know, this odor is praiseworthy. You should let it come. But actually, it doesn't stop. Brushing the teeth, brushing your mouth with miswak doesn't stop what's coming from the stomach at all. In any case, that's like, you know, difference of opinion, but the strong opinion from the scholars of Sunnah is that, yani, it's permissible to use it. Sheikh Saleh Fawzan, we read, when we were reading his, yani, discussion concerning this, he said using it at any time, yani, early part of the day, later part of the day, without any restriction. After miswak, Abu Bakr. It comes from the stomach, yes. Because, yani, it's from what's happening inside the body and the stomach, from no food coming into the stomach. It's coming from the stomach through the mouth. Now, Abu Bakr? Okay, from also it's mustahab that a person, when you break your fast, that you break your fast with fresh dates. But if you didn't find any, then dry dates, and if you didn't find it, then water. Now, we might have skipped one in terms of the order. Abdulaziz, then we'll come back to the one we skipped. Oh, yani, that is permissible. If a person is eating, taking their suhoor, and that was called, they can finish whatever they have in their hand. Now, we're going to come back to Ibrahim. We missed one. I didn't know that we were actually reading from the book, but maybe that's how come we have the order. Go ahead. Now, that a person who's fasting, it's commendable. It's mustahab to say, I'm fasting, to somebody if they abuse you, or they try to start an argument, or they said some bad things to you, or tried to fight you. It's commendable. It's from the things that are mustahab for a fasting person to say, and to acknowledge, to inform others that they are fasting. A question about this point?
It's not a long question.
But can we come back to it after we finish the mustahab? We finish the mustahab?
No.
Finish.
No.
It's concerning this particular point?
I think somebody mentioned about it.
Hastening to break the fast.
I see some people, like, especially because sometimes they start at Masjid at Taqwa. They delay the event, and then it's the time for Maghrib enters. You see the brother still waiting for the Muazzin, and sometimes it takes a long time. And the other time I was like...
Oh, you mean, in other words, if the Muazzin doesn't call the Adhan on time, people are waiting to break their fast?
Yeah, so what is better, do you wait and break your fast with them, or should you...
No, you should break your fast immediately. Don't wait for them. Don't wait for them, don't wait for the Muazzin, don't wait for anything. If you know that the sun has set, then you should hasten to break the fast. Any more mustahabat? No. It's commendable to read the Quran, to read a lot of the Quran, and ikthar min qira'at al-Quran, and along with qira'at al-Quran, we mentioned that being charitable, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was most charitable. Yani when Jibril used to come to him, yumarisu ma'a al-Quran. Yani the Jibril used to come to him to read with him the Quran, and he was more charitable at that time. That's why the scholars mentioned these two things together, that reading the Quran and being charitable, because they go together. If a person is reading Quran, how they not going to be more charitable? You're reading Quran more, it means you have to become more charitable. No. Right? Anything else that was mentioned in the book? Huh? Oh, taftir. Yani feeding people who are fasting. Yani giving them iftar to break their fast. Okay, these are... Well, ijtihad fi al-ibadah fi al-ashr al-awakhir. Yani extending, exerting yourself in worship in the last 10 days of yani Ramadan. طيب, after this question number 11, اذكر مبتلات السيام. Mention the things that invalidate the fast. Things that invalidate the fast. First and foremost, نعم. Akal, eating. And secondly, with it, shorb, drinking. And thirdly, eating and drinking intentionally. نعم. Jima'a, yani sexual intercourse. نعم. Vomiting intentionally. Yani the woman, if she has had yani menses or postpartum bleeding, yani after childbirth, that invalid. But those, of course, not voluntary. Inzal al mani, yani that was from the things that we mentioned, that mubtilat al asiyam. But there's a difference of opinion about that. Yani we have two opinions that we just get finished discussing today, so we'll hold that one, inshallah. And in any case, look, there's some difference of opinion on some of these things, right? So, you know, it's good to like hear both sides and to have some discussion about it. This question, the Mubtilat al-Siyam is on page 73 and 74. And the Mustahabat of Siyam is on page 71 and 72. And the last question, ما حكم من جامع زوجته في نهار رمضان وهو صائم؟ Yani, what is the ruling concerning the one who has sexual intercourse with their spouse during the daytime in Ramadan, while that person is actually fasting? Because the person in Ramadan might not be fasting, right? They might be traveling, they might be sick, yani, or otherwise. But if the person in the daytime during Ramadan, while they're actually fasting, having relations with their spouse, what is the hukum concerning this? Ya Abdul Haq. Oh, I gotta look over here. Okay, Ibrahim, what's the ruling? What's the ruling concerning the person having relations with their spouse in the daytime while they're fasting Ramadan? Type, yani, the ruling is that person has to do al-qadha, they have to make up for the day that they missed, and also al-kafara, expiate for it. And that expiation, that's the part of the question. The expiation, what is the expiation? Be careful, don't jump off the building. They have to free a slave. The expiation is they have to free a slave. If there's no slave to free, there's no way to free a slave, then in that case, they have to fast for two consecutive months. Notice we said two consecutive months. Shahrayni mutatabiyayni. We didn't say 60 days. We said two consecutive months. Why?
Because the
month could be 29 or 30 days. So we're going to put 60 days on somebody. It might come to 59, right? And they need a break, right? Two consecutive months. And then if they're not able to, yani shari'i reason, they're not able to, because they have chronic illness, or they're from the elderly or whatever, they can't fast, then they have to feed 64 people. Feed 64 people. Naam. That's the expiation in that particular order, according to the majority of scholars. Okay, now, yes. That was the last question, right?
Both of them have to do about just
Do both of them have to do it, or just the man?
If the wife agrees and they're cooperating in.
Yeah, if she's not compelled by her husband, she's not compelled against her will, but she's willingly also engaging, then it's on her too.
If she refuses and then.
Oh, he's talking about.
Now. Feeding of 60 people. It doesn't have to be in one day. But yeah, it could be in one day, or it could be in time, according to their ability. They have to feed 60 people. If they have the ability to do it in one day, right, then it should be done immediately without delay. If they don't have the ability, then according to their ability. There's not specifically a time limit, because the Prophet ﷺ told that man, does he have the ability to free a slave? And he said, no. He said, then can you fast for 2 months? He said, no. He said, then feed 64 people. He said, I don't have. So then the Prophet didn't say, you have to feed them right now. He said, I don't have. So until you are able, then you have time. But when you are able, you don't have time. You have to do it, right? If a person only has the ability to feed 10, they have to feed 10. When they became able to feed 5 more or 10 more, they have to do it. But if they have the ability to feed 60, they have to feed 60. Now,
it could be one person every day too, like 60 to the
10. Not if they have the ability to feed 60. If they have the ability to feed 60, they have to feed 60.
It's not about.
It's not like you can just do it whenever you get ready to. It's when you, if you have the ability, you have to do it. Yeah, just do now. Can you bring 60 people to one place and feed them? Now you can do it. Now 60 poor people.
The answer now, if she's compelled to do it,
then how is she to blame for what she's compelled to do? How is she to blame?
You were saying what if the man was
compelled? Okay, so that was too difficult for me.
Yeah, it's
too difficult. That's above my pay scale. I don't get paid like that. Okay, we're going to stop here. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Yani next week, inshallah, we're going to start with Kitab al-Hajj. Kitab al-Hajj. So preview, yani, the beginning of Kitab al-Hajj. We'll take the first couple of issues, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, next week. Inshallah.